Blog Talk Radio.
Capital Markets Today, where industry experts discuss capital markets, trading, real estate, and mortgage lending, is brought to you by Neighborhood Stabilization Capital Management, where private, nonprofit, and public collaboration are providing industry and social solutions as well as investor returns. Please visit www.nscm.us and learn more. Now your host of Capital Markets Today, Louis Amaya.
Welcome to Capital Markets Today and the Capital Pro City Summit podcast series. The summit, being held on March 21st and 22nd in Prague, will focus on NPLs and real estate investments within the southeastern European countries. Listeners can use code NSCM30 for a 30% discount when registering at capitalprocity.com. Over the past two decades, Central and Southeastern Europe has experienced remarkable economic transformations. It is estimated for every single percentage point of growth in the Eurozone, the CEE and SEE countries are expected to grow by up to 1.5 to 3.5 percentage points. Joining the podcast to discuss opportunities in Central and Southeastern Europe is Patrick Wigan, Director of Wigan Acquisitions. Wigan Acquisitions is a family office and private equity-backed investment company targeting direct real estate and non-performing loan portfolios across Central and Southeastern Europe. Central and Southeastern Europe up next on Capital Markets Today.
This podcast is brought to you by NS Capital Management. NS Capital Management supports the acquisition and management efforts of various investment funds in the residential debt and real estate asset classes. NS Capital Management offers its partners transparent portfolio management methodologies, fund administration, proprietary technology, in-house REO management, and unique NPL acquisition channels. Visit NS Capital Management on the web at www.nscm.us.
Patrick, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Lewis, for the kind introduction.
So before we get started, why don't you give us some background on your firm and what you're currently doing in the SEE?
Sure, thank you. So Patrick Wigan, and I set up the Central Eastern European platform for recreating effectively a family office and private investor-backed platform. I've been in the region for over 15 years, focused on predominantly principal investments, but also NPL workouts. I'm based now between Budapest, Vienna, and Prague, with a team of six, and we've transacted this last year on roughly 140 million euro direct acquisitions.
So there's a lot of activity going on in that region of Europe. There is specific opportunities for those who are interested in getting out of the traditional Eurozone investment markets. What are some of the opportunities and advantages of one being in that particular area? And then you had mentioned that you have separate account investing versus co-investing. What are some of the benefits and drawbacks?
It's a good question, and one that we really want to emphasize to investors at large, because we believe that there's a surplus of commingled funds. And I think that there's been a record amount of new capital raised looking to be deployed. And unless you're familiar with these territories, it's very easy to follow the pack and not have the edge or material advantages. And so we believe that essentially reaching out to co-investment partners on a separate account basis, that we offer direct access to the markets we know best, we live and breathe in those markets, we have the broader coverage of those markets, we can be quite generalist, so we can dive into retail or offices or industrial or even student housing, and very much specific to the needs of the investor. We work directly with them, we're never on the sell side. We partner, we put our own equity in alongside our partners, and our motive is to build out a sustainable platform, so our interests are fully aligned from day one.
And so when you pursue an investment, you're co-investing and then you're managing the transaction and you're acquiring and managing all the due diligence?
Sure. So you, Lewis, you come to us, you say that you've raised this money, that you want to commit some of that to countries in Europe. You know the benchmarks roughly, you know the geography, and you say, okay, we're focused on retail in Prague, Vienna, Budapest, you know, and then these are the target returns. We'll tell you whether your outlook is at all achievable in terms of where perceptions are and the reality, and we'll hold your hand every step of the way in terms of sourcing the right opportunities, fully screening them, negotiating. We don't disclose our capital partners. We front everything so that the vendor is recognised us as the local investor with principal partners, regardless of where they come from, and until we feel comfortable, you feel comfortable that it's right to show that we're working together, that we're ready to go to the next stage, and at that stage we appoint due diligence partners, get into the full underwriting, secure the debt finance, and offer them the full asset management capabilities post acquisition.
Yeah, Central and Eastern Europe, as I went through the intro, has really transformed over the past couple of decades. And there seems to be, from I'm in the U.S., so from perspective of myself, U.S. looking in, like there could potentially be a lot of really a lot of opportunities, unique opportunities to invest in that area. Why do you think Central and Eastern Europe is a good place to be right now?
I think it is the right place to be, but with caution, because in 2017 it was a cyclical high of nearly 13 billion euros worth of investments, and I think when there's a sort of herd mentality to follow yields into these markets is the time to be more cautious, to be honest. The political economic uncertainty on a global scale means that that's not to be ignored on a local scale in Central Eastern Europe. So I think their opportunities are there, but when yields are driven down to 3-4% for prime high street retail, for example, in Prague, you know, that then you've got to question whether that offers relative value compared to UK primary cities, not even going to secondary cities. And the advantage that we say is, okay, where is the herd not going? You know, 2 or 3 years ago, there was a mass rush into Poland, and then Poland was suddenly considered Western European institutional worthy investments, and we were saying, well, hang on a second, you know, there's a lag effect here, you know, there's the infrastructure isn't necessarily there in the secondary cities, and there's a potential oversupply in Warsaw where there's less building constraints, for example, and I think to an extent that's been proven right. You know, there is now a built out an oversupply, and we've focused on the fundamentals. We didn't invest in Poland, we did invest in Prague, and we're still very optimistic on Hungary at large, even though Hungary was effectively the black sheep of Central Eastern Europe for the last few years because of the perceived political risk and at a discount to Poland, which carries the same risk in our view.
Is there, you kind of mentioned some countries, some that are more, I guess, evolved than others. What are some of the countries that you think the greatest opportunities lie in today?
I don't want to give away our sort of secret strategy, so to speak, but we don't want to follow the herd. We want to focus on core assets, yes, offering sustainable income. So on an asset class basis, we still believe, for example, in food retail anchored assets across the board. We believe in central business district located office buildings where you can mitigate the economic fiscal risk by going absolutely core location. We don't mind taking on shorter lease terms because we think that that's where some of the upside will be. And buying on a below construction cost basis. So you I think you're in for you know, good sustainable income profile. We also like the sectors which have been traditionally overlooked or lagged behind, should we say, Western Europe and US, like student housing. But bear in mind there's been an undersupply in that market, for example, in student housing. And so there's been a rush of institutional capital into those markets, that's been reflected also in the yields. And we would favor looking at opportunities which aren't competing with those funds.
which is exactly why you would need someone on the ground like yourself to kind of find these unique opportunities, because someone outside looking in is just not going to see these unique opportunities within specific countries, I would imagine. What type of investors do you usually raise capital with? Do you work with mostly private wealth or institutional capitals? And how do you go about raising capital and awareness of your platform and the opportunities that you can present?
Back in 2006, I moved to Budapest from working before that with Knight Frank in London. And then I chose to jump into living in Budapest to work for what was the largest privately owned mixed-use development company called Trigranite. It's now part of TPG. And that was private investor backed with one large institutional investor, which at the time was Innoeast, but now Innoeast Finance, you know. But otherwise, also high net worth individual investors who wanted to be discreet in terms of what they were doing on a private basis or through the company. And by and large, the direction I've taken since then is also to work with those investors who don't want to shout from the rooftops what they're doing. But, you know, that's exactly the purpose we serve, is to act as a front for them. We've most recently, for example, transacted on these office buildings in Budapest, where the fund is based in Hong Kong. So they've been coming over as overseas investors, familiar to an extent with the geography and the attractions of the underlying assets, but wanting us to steer them through that. And in part, we rely on their word of mouth to reach out to other investors who think, okay, you know, that's a worthy partner to have. They can see that we do a lot of the donkey work and running around on their behalf. We're co-investing alongside them, so we're fully aligned in keeping costs and fees right down and build it out like that. But at the same time, because we're not scared of reaching out to the larger funds or even the sort of servicing partners. So, for example, I was a regional partner for Pepper Group, which at the time had roughly 30 billion of loans under management, of non-performing loans. And I worked very hard with my partners to originate on their behalf, to work, then reaching out to Pepper Group's typical investment partners, and to see who was most committed, in all honesty. They recognized that we offered a loan service and an asset management partnership, and we didn't really mind who we partnered with, because at that level of NPL investing, it comes with it a certain credibility to whether they're going to perform or not.
Are you seeing a lot of money from the U.S. Trying to enter this market?
Yeah, I think there has been a lot of money from the U.S. Entered and looking still to enter, but there's also been an adjustment on expectations. I think everybody locally or across the region will tell you that minimum 20 million upwards and seeking 20% IRRs is just not necessarily realistic anymore. And the investors we prefer to partner with are those looking for more sustainable cash-on-cash returns, so we can go in on investments of 6-8% yield with conservative leverage and lease-up expectations to get into as close to the 10% cash-on-cash mark as we can find. And so the U.S. capital, I think, has had to be more patient, but there are a lot of fund managers under pressure to deploy that capital, and not just from the U.S., from South Africa, for example, and increasingly now from China, which to an extent is hurting the market a little bit, because that's forcing pricing up and yields down.
It's interesting how the process evolves and how quickly a particular opportunistic space gets crowded with capital. I mean, it's same in here in the U.S. You know, during the crash, and the money just rushed in, and there was a short window of getting these crazy trades where you can, you know, hit 25-30% or even higher yields, but that quickly normalized to you know, a 12-10% type of yield for many of the spaces that we're in, and you get the first set of investors roll out, and then you get the more institutionalized investors or private wealth that are seeking just traditional yields on cash on cash. What's the potential impact of Brexit? I know they're really, they're still working through that, but is there any impact down the road once Brexit has been complete?
Sure. I mean, this is a subject that's close to my heart, being an Englishman based in Central Eastern Europe. And so, a reluctant Brexiteer to that extent. But I think that we've recognized that everybody has to move on, that there were valid criticisms of the EU and how it's been managed, and hopefully that those will be corrected. And likewise, the UK is no doubt going to suffer from this uncertainty, but also bounce back as it always has done. And my belief is that right now that you'll have investors cautious about entering the UK market. So now is the time to be saying, listen, not just yield hunting investors, that's important to stress, but investors looking for relative value. And so that can be on a square meter basis, which makes Central Eastern Europe very attractive compared to Western Europe, but also on the rental growth prospects and the larger fundamentals. But beyond that, I think that, funny enough, the Brexit will have the reverse impact in Central Eastern Europe, because I think that the contrarian investors will consider the UK the place to start looking at again when the dust settles. And we shouldn't be ignorant of the fact that then Central Eastern Europe will be again lagged. So those investors who might typically be looking at Central Eastern Europe will be refocused on Western Europe. But then again, as the pricing adjusts, that they'll then start looking back across the continent. And so we tend to want to just remain here on the ground and ride out these typical movements and adjustments.
And for Wigan acquisitions, what do you see as your objective over the next 3 to 5 years? What specific changes that you think are underway that will fundamentally impact the industry?
Wigan and Co. was founded in 1790 as a family business in a totally different industry. And so it was with some pride that I said to myself, I wanted to set up an acquisition company in our family's name, but with a wholly different purpose. But I recognize also that that the platform needs to be beyond us as a family business and embracing the key preferences of our capital partners. So from that perspective, we've set up this platform called Serasa, as in Central Europe Real Estate Separate Account. And the Serasa platform is designed to exactly be a tailored solution to investors looking to come in directly on opportunities. And the fact that we've transacted now over 135 million is a good start. But we really now want to focus on getting a sustainable platform under management with a natural churn of assets. So when we see good exits, we don't want to hold on to those assets. We want to recognize that we can take much to the upside, but show to our equity partners that we're delivering returns that make Central Eastern Europe attractive in the first place. So where we'll be in 3 to 5 years, I hope that we'll be well in excess of a few hundred million, maybe a billion under management, should we say, certainly transacted. And with committed partners who don't need to shout from the rooftops what we're doing for them, but show that by staying committed and building the platform that we are interested to remain fully aligned.
And if someone was interested in reaching out to you, how would they get a hold of you? You have a website that they can visit.
Sure. I think we come up quite quickly on a usual Google search for Wigan Acquisitions, separate account investments, Wigan ACQ, as short for Wigan Acquisitions.com, and then they can even look at the short introduction we have open to anybody, which is WiganACQ.com/Serasa with a T, so CERESA, and that'll get show a quick profile of what we've done, our track record, the advantages of co-investments in separate accounts, and how to contact us, and a little bio of our partners on the ground.
And lastly, I believe you're speaking at the upcoming Capital Pro City Summit in Prague in the Czech Republic, if I'm correct, or?
Sure.
And what will you be speaking on there, and what do you hope to obtain, what do you hope to obtain from the conference?
I'm on the family office panel, and I'm looking forward to these events because it's a chance to to kind of compare notes with people with a similar perspective and similar objective. I think that the Capital Pro City Agenda is on real estate and distress to investment is what we've been focused on primarily for the last decade nearly. I think that there was this hold up and again the lag effect across countries in Europe where banks just weren't being forced to clear their balance sheet, and by and large the last few years have seen that really accelerated, and some of the biggest NPL transactions occurring not just from Austria and Italian focused banks who had their subsidiaries in the region, but right through into Romania, into Croatia, Slovenia. And that brought a lot of interesting products and different risk profile investors into the region, looking and needing servicing partners on the loan portfolio, but also asset managers and investors with experience who can make sure to point them in the right direction. And so I'm interested to be on that panel to also understand who else is really focused on the region and how we can potentially work together.
Excellent. Well, Patrick, I appreciate your time. I know we have a quite a bit of a time difference between the Pacific time and your time in Europe. So I appreciate you jumping on the podcast, and I look forward to seeing you at the conference.
Likewise. Thank you, Lewis. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you and also look forward to meeting.
Okay. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
That wraps up today's podcast. Please subscribe to Capital Markets Today on iTunes and download every podcast to your smartphone as it's published. Join the Capital Markets Today group on LinkedIn and stay connected to real estate mortgage capital markets and receive all the podcasts through the group as well. Today's show is brought to you by NS Capital Management, extracting value through effective asset management. And just a reminder for the Capital Pro City Summit, you can use NSCM30 for a 30% discount when registering at capitalprocity.com. The summit's being held on March 21st and 22nd in Prague, the Czech Republic. Thanks for tuning in, and we will talk to you next time.
Capital Markets Today is a leading industry content provider. Please visit Capital Markets Today at www.capital-mt.com for industry data, downloads, news, blogs, and to listen on demand to all past podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe to Capital Markets Today on iTunes to have the latest podcasts downloaded to your smartphone automatically, giving you the flexibility to listen at your convenience.